Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk. This week we discuss Hassan's Jubilee, the politics of the Paramount merger, and the Epstein files. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we are discussing national political news of the day, and there is a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot. It will start with, why don't we talk about the Jubilee, which I have not watched, but I think it's, from what Matthew is describing, it is memorable enough to report on.
It's frightening. Jubilee is simply a table and two chairs, and the one gentleman's going to be the con, he's going to be the opposite viewpoint. And surrounding him are 20 chairs. In this case, Mehdi Hassan is left of center. He's a Pakistani who was raised in England and then has dual citizenship in Britain and America. He's got his American citizenship. He was surrounded by 20. It was supposed to be right-wing conservatives. It was not. It was alt-Reich, as in R-E-I-C-H. These people were absolutely nuts. Mid to late 20s. Most of them didn't believe in the Constitution, did not believe in democracy. They believed the president can do whatever he wants, but only if their president's in office, not a Democrat. Five of them told him that he needs to leave this country. And he kept saying, I'm an American citizen. Why would I do that? They argued with him. The one gal says, you know, I don't like you being here. He looks at her and goes, where are your parents from? Well, they're Americans. Where were they born? Well, they came here from another country, so they were immigrants. Yeah, but they're Americans now. So there's a whole thing in their head about if you're not born in this country and you don't have white skin, if you're somehow brown, black, or yellow, they want you out of here. It's the problem I had watching this is ever since the gold escalator of 2015, the racism and the anger that's been subtle just kind of bubbled to the surface.
Yeah.
People no longer have to hide it. They can be out in public and say what they want, no matter how crazy their thoughts are.
And even some of the more famous names are getting that way. I mean, Charlie Kirk has simply stated that I oppose all immigration, except maybe people from Norway. But he just says immigration is ruining, not just illegal immigration, but immigration. He said it in a Truth Social post.
Well, Charlie Kirk could start with Elon Musk and Melania Trump. How about that?
Yeah, I know.
I'm okay with those two going first.
It is scary. How could we watch that? Jubilee.
It just hit on YouTube, and it's literally type in either Jubilee or Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I, Hassan with one S, H-A-S-A-N. It's frightening to watch. I highly recommend you watch it. It may take you a couple nights because your brain's going to have a problem watching this, that this is how Americans think today. I'm not saying Americans, but I'm saying the Republicans have not gone far right. They've gone alt-Reich. And that just freaks me out that they just don't care. They're trying to make excuses for Nazis. I have a problem with that.
When you say they don't believe in the Constitution, they literally don't believe in the Constitution, or they just don't know what's in it and they believe things that are contrary to it?
I think part of the problem, he was trying to argue all the things Donald Trump's doing wrong with the Constitution today, all the constitutional bills or amendments that he's breaking. If you have free speech, but if you speak against Israel, you may have some knocks on your door, handcuffed, and you're gone in the middle of the night. And of course, no due process. We're not going to put you in front of a judge before we send you off on a plane.
Right.
The Congressional Bill of Rights that we have, that every person, whether they're an American citizen, green card, or they're visiting America legally or illegally, has these rights. They don't believe in them.
Yeah, there seems to be, even, and this isn't even the far right, there seems to be an abandonment of a basic conservative tenet that I respect and seems to be going away. But they're one of the things that when I used to debate conservatives, they would ask me, and when I was in college, when I had a conservative professor would say, Mr. Kirk, do you believe that government grants rights, or that rights are inherently present before that? Do you believe that they are that we have rights inherently, or that they are granted by the government? And of course, we would all say, no, well, we are inherent rights. We're endowed by our creator, right? That's right. In the Declaration of Independence. We all say that. And so, well, there are implications of that. So if you're saying, well, if you're not an American, so you're not entitled to basic rights, then you're saying that it must come from the government because it's only, you only have it if you're a citizen, and that citizenship is something that comes from the government. So you are, it's a reversal of the whole concept. There are privileges that come from the government, rights you're entitled to no matter what. And the law distinguishes between that. I don't have a right to vote. It's a privilege to vote, but I have a right to habeas corpus. I have a right to free speech. And these things cannot be taken without due process, which I also have a right to.
People can't kick in your door unless they have a signed warrant by a judge.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter who I am. And people will say, well, even if you're a serial killer, and it's like, well, yes, until I'm convicted of being a serial killer. It's, you know, then I lose rights but I'm entitled to due process until a decision is made. And there just doesn't seem to be grasping that concept. No, you don't have rights in a country where you're not a citizen. And that may be true in some countries, but in this country, and in most, it is stated, there are very few countries where it's not stated, whether or not it's actually practiced, is you are endowed with rights by providence, by just simply by being a human being, period, end of story. And the question is ascertaining what those basic rights are. And that's something that, you just don't get. And if you said some of these people were Christian nationalists, I mean, emphasizing the word Christian, they should believe that. They should believe that divinity is higher than nationality, right?
A little point of order there, right? Christian nationalist is their code for Christian white nationalist, aka American Nazis.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
Listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
I imagine there were elements of replacement theory in the discussion.
They talked. you already know the talking points they went with. Replacement theory. They're replacing us. The Jews are replacing us. The Jews are 2.5% of America. How are they replacing us?
I know.
Immigrants are replacing us. 15% of the people in America today were not born here. 15%. How are they replacing you? They're not going to overturn the Constitution. Well, they're changing the government. How are they changing the government? They've had these rights for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a meme out there called the Schrodinger's immigrant. It's a play on Schrodinger's cat. It's a Schrodinger's immigrant, being lazy and being, working off of benefits and stealing your job at the same time, right? It's just
they mentioned that part too. Glad you went there. He said they're taking our jobs, and Mehdi Hasan laughed at him and goes, "Are you picking strawberries in 105 degree heat?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, no, then they're not taking your jobs because you wouldn't do that job." Right. Are you up on a roof in Bakersfield stripping a roof and putting on a new roof in 108 degree heat? Well, no, I don't do construction work. I got a college degree. Then they're not taking your job.
Yeah, no, and I interviewed close to a decade ago a guy who's part of I can't remember the name of the group, but a left wing redneck movement. He talks like a redneck. He's from West Virginia, and I interviewed him after seeing him in a debate with a right wing buddy. There's plenty of those around in West Virginia, and I just remember him saying, there ain't no immigrants taking your coal jobs. I challenge you to find one immigrant working in a coal mine. It's just not happening, right? You know, and the other guy said, well, it could happen. It's like, you know, so here you are getting yourself up, worked up in a lather over what could happen. You know, if you want a farm working job, I'm sure they'll let you try. You know, I mean, it's just, but you're not doing it right now. They would.
And part of the thing I got from this jubilee is the youth, especially those under 35, don't get, you know, Walter Cronkite's dead. He's long gone. The way that we did news in the 60s, even 70s, it's over. News is now entertainment, and it's now gone to social media. The manosphere, if you've heard that, the blogosphere and podcast is where half these people get their news. Yeah. They're on Facebook feeds where they just they put out lies and people believe them, and then they repost them and send them to people. But they had something called the Band of Bros, which is your Joe Rogan, Andrew Schultz, Theo Vaughn, Dave Rubin, Dana White, Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck. It's all these men talking to other men. And we have these whole generation of young men who don't know how to be a man anymore. So they listen to these guys spout this vitriolic anger, and they think that's how you need to live your life. It's kind of scary. That's why they call them incels. Have you heard that term before?
Yes, incels.
Involuntary celibate.
Right, yeah, because women are pretty
angry, it turns off women, and that gets them more angry. It turns off women even more, and they go through the cycle, and then they become angry and violent.
Right.
Look at January 6th.
Yeah.
I guarantee the vast majority of people that were incels, just angry people.
Yeah, it's they see their, you know, virginity or lack of contact as some sort of purgatory that women are putting them in rather than a product of their own behavior.
Women are putting them there because of the product of their behavior.
Well, that's true.
If you treat women with no respect, they're not going to treat you with respect.
Yeah, I know. People, including women, have suggested you also need to get out of your basement more. You know,
a lot of these people lived at home with their parents, which is shocking. They're angry at the system. They're already falling behind economically, and they don't know how to, and they're blaming immigrants for this. Not the fact that the Republicans' view of this country is the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do. I will look at it. I've seen a lot of it, and I'll probably watch it in portions. You know,
but it's frightening. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is kind of a famous theme of one person of one persuasion debating 20 to 30 of another. It's not as amazing as it looks like because you debate them one at a time. So it's, you know, they're in a circle.
The chair across from you.
Right. It's not like you're trying to out. Shout all of them at once. It's it's basically it's one-on-one, just serially.
There was one kid there. He was a DACA kid. So he was taken here illegally. His parents crossed the border illegally when he was a child. So under Obama's DACA plan, he gets to stay here until Trump figures out a way to get rid of that. But he was talking about it. He grew up with illegal parents. I should say illegal immigrant parents.
Yeah.
They had a different lifestyle because they're always very careful what's going on out there. And this is before ICE got militarized like they are today. And Hassan looks at him and says, what the hell are you doing with the right conservatives? Are you? These people would be happy to pick up their phones and call ICE on you tonight.
Yeah.
So that was a weird one.
It was, but, well, you always find it. I mean, you'll always find somebody in a group like that supports it. There were Jewish people who supported the Nazi Party for the longest time.
The Hispanic for Trump. They're rethinking that one right now.
Yeah.
But in 2024, man, those Hispanics for Trump were real big out there.
Yeah. No. Right. Anyway, why don't we move on to the next topic? Paramount is, of course, a major media multi types of media. They make a lot of movies. They own
CBS.
They own CBS. And as a result, some very interesting things have happened because they're looking towards a merger with what company?
SkyWest Media. They got the merger done.
Yeah.
Okay. After they canned Stephen Colbert.
Canned Stephen Colbert and also settled a lawsuit that they couldn't possibly have lost.
$16 million bribe.
Yeah, they gave Trump $16 million. Trump had sued 60 Minutes, specifically CBS, over a 60 Minutes interview of candidate Harris,
right,
over how they conducted the interview, because they thought that they'd the interview had been selectively edited. And the problem is that even if it was true, the First Amendment will not allow a court or government to dictate to the CBS how they can conduct or air their interviews. It's just right. Not done. You know, the remedy, as would always be said, is if you don't like the way they do their interviews, don't watch them.
Right.
There's plenty of others out there, but they could not have lost that. It would have, you know, it was not going to go anywhere. And but instead, they gave him $16 million, and everybody says, "See, he was right all along." And this is part of a pattern of law firms, of universities, of people in general just caving to this. And that is what makes it dangerous. It's one thing for a would-be authoritarian to want to be an authoritarian, but when people start caving, it makes room for it. That is how authoritarians have come to power before. They don't take it seriously, you know, and they obtain power through attrition because people don't stand up to them. And Paramount, I'm sorry, they you can't tell me that this wasn't a decision that was based on the politics of allowing this merger to go through, because Trump could have messed with it and was probably threatening to. And that is illegal, but because the Supreme Court has ruled that, you know, you can't arrest a president for anything or charge him for anything he does in his official capacity, as long as he's threatening him with presidential letterhead, it's okay, I guess, you know. So it's just, it is a real bummer. The mistake that they've made is Colbert has a contract. And so
he's good for another 10 months.
Yeah. And they were saying, oh, and by the way, tone it down with regard to Donald Trump.
He doesn't tell me how to run my show. The interesting thing was Paramount tried to say this was done for financial reasons. Colbert has the number one rated show. What are they going to do with Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Seth Meyers and Jon Stewart, whose shows are rated lower than Stephen Colbert?
Yeah, I know. They made money. This was a political, well, and maybe it doesn't make financial sense in terms of all the deals that they want to make with Trump and, you know, to get favors from the president. Maybe that's the financial sense it doesn't make.
And it was like what with Fox News happened when they lost their lawsuit and had to pay out $787,500,000.
Yeah.
But the last thing they said is, we need a trophy on the wall. We need a head. Tucker Carlson was their number one rated news guy, not news, opinion. And they fired him. $20 million a year, and just said number one ratings, and he said, boom, you're gone. That was it.
I mean, the one who actually messed it up for him was Hannity, who obviously didn't understand that emails could be the subject of discovery. But this is interesting. So Colbert is no, he's going hog wild, because as long as he doesn't violate the terms of the contract, he gets to be on the air.
He said gloves off, and the first time ever I've heard a late night talk show host tell the American president to go F himself. He used the actual word. I'm like going, oh my God.
No, yeah, because all they have to do is block it out. And it's out of the FCC, you know, prime time. So, you know, he can do it. And you know he's going to land on something else, whether it's a Netflix deal or you know, some other thing. It's not, you know, it's not like he's going to disappear.
One more thing we got to talk about. South Park's creator, Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh, yeah.
They just sold their library to Paramount for $1.5 billion with a B. They want all 27 seasons, and the 27th season was slow to get going because Paramount's merger. They never gave them the green light to go forward. So they wrote an FU episode to Trump. If you haven't seen season 27, episode 1 yet, I recommend
you. I heard about it.
The worst thing was the whole thing was about how Trump threatened the city, and the city says, okay, we'll pay him the $3 million. We'll have to cut back on hospitals and schools and roads, but at least Trump won't say bad things about us. And it's not a joke what he does out there with everybody. But then they said, there's one more thing. We have to do a PSA for Donald Trump, public service announcement. They did AI and showed Trump going through the desert, how he's there for America. And little by little, he's sweating more and he's taking off his jacket, taking off his tie, taking off his shirt, taking off his pants and his shoes. And he's just this 300 plus pound obese man who falls to the ground and rolls over. And this small little penis comes up and starts talking to him, says, "I approve this ad."
That's South Park.
It was the whole, and they did a, when Trump was going through the White House there, the comic character was, he goes, "Hey, why is my penis so small?" "Well, that's how the actual size is in the picture, sir. Get him out of here. Arrest him." Yeah. Anytime they can make fun of Trump's penis, they're going hog wild.
Well, he could always put things to rest. There was a call for him to actually show his penis in front of, you know, somebody verified it.
No. I cannot get out of my head. Okay.
I know. It reminds me, I can't remember the sitcom of, you know, where this guy is like trying to convince these women to play strip poker with him, and he's like, they're not wanting to, and he says, "What, are you afraid you'll lose?" And one of them says, "No, we're afraid we'll win." Anyway, why don't we move on to? Well, I don't. Listen, why don't we do Epstein file later? We've got a few other things to discuss. Trump, of course, is pushing heavy for the Fed decrease its rates because he wants the economic stimulation. Powell and the Fed are hesitant to do that because they don't know what's going to happen with inflation. Because of the tariffs. Now they, you know, people are saying, well, you know, that the tariffs aren't causing much inflation so far. And it's like, well, the tariffs, for one thing, Taco, he keeps whipping down on him, on most of them, but he's still, even after the so-called deal with the EU, there's still 15% tariffs back and forth. That's not what they were, you know, before he came to office. They were zero before he came to office. 15% is still going to cause inflation. And
sales are down. BMW and Mercedes-Benz.
That's right. Yeah. And durable goods, it's already had an effect on. And I think as we discussed in a prior show, he's got a 50% tariff on Bolsonaro because they're prosecuting the corrupt would-be dictator in that country. Right. Brazil. Bolsonaro is the name of the would-be dictator that's being prosecuted under the laws of that country. I mean, that's not even... And you know, other... and now I believe just yesterday he's imposing tariffs on India. I'm not even sure why, so, you know, this is still happening. It looks like he may have a deal with South Korea. I don't know if that's going to be entirely lifting the tariffs, but the big news that came out today and possibly was a factor in the Fed's decision is that Procter & Gamble is saying we can no longer absorb the tariffs. We are going to increase
prices.
The prices on the products that we believe have flexible demand curve that people are going to buy anyways, like toilet paper, you know, and that means they've calculated that other companies are going to up the price of toilet paper. So, you know, beef is going through the roof, not his fault entirely. There's a lot of factors going on. What?
Coffee.
Also not entirely his fault, except that it is partly due to climate change. So, you know,
there is no climate change, Eric. They got rid of that department. I'm serious. They got rid of the department.
Yeah. No,
there's no climate change. It's all Democratic fraud, fake news. It's gone.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, well, it's one of the reasons we may end up with no coffee in 10 years. But anyway, some items are going up. Eggs still haven't dropped. Trump is suing California because we have our egg prices haven't gone down. Anyways,
or our gas prices.
Yeah, but this is the first time we've had in 30 years that we've had two dissenters voting at the Fed. Of course, those are the two people who Trump has put around as replacing Powell if he can fire Powell. It's not entirely clear whether he can under the Federal Reserve laws. But they decided, at least for this time being, the Fed rate is not going to go down. And if inflation does heat up, it's not going to go down anytime soon.
And it's having an effect on the real estate market, especially the commercial real estate market. Yeah. Which Trump owns a lot of commercial real estate.
Right. And the problem with that, too, is we could end up with, for the first time in decades, stagflation, which is when you have both stagnation and inflation, which is contradictory because usually, one cancels the other out. But the last time we had it, it started under Carter and was aggravated under Reagan with the supply side economics, which he abandoned in favor of military Keynesianism later by upping the military budget. But we haven't seen it since then. Before that, economists would have told you it was impossible. How can you have, income going down and prices going up? How are people able to sell the products? I mean, but
one more thing I want to bring up is Las Vegas. I don't know if you heard the numbers coming out of Las Vegas. For 2 months in a row, they've had double digits declines in terms of hotel revenue and occupancy. When you start getting double digits down like 15% the last month, foreigners just aren't coming to America. They just say, I don't want to mess with the border. We're going to go elsewhere, anywhere. We'll go to the Caribbean. We'll go to Macau. We just do not want to come to America. And it's having an effect there. And it's starting to do the trickle-down effect. It'll start with car dealers and then the housekeepers and then the dishwashers. Little by little, it's going to start to be layoffs out there.
And I guess since Las Vegas is a city that's entirely geared around tourism, they would notice first.
Right. And that's what I'm kind of hinting at. It's going to start there and start to spread.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we have that happening. Now, is he going to attempt to fire Powell? I don't, we'll see. He hasn't done it yet. And then we'll see what the courts decide as to whether he can. The Supreme Court has supported him in most of the, his decisions as to whether or not he can fire anybody or dismantle, entities that, Congress has created. But the Federal Reserve is a little bit different. It was created by a constitutional amendment, it's just, so we'll see.
The Federal Reserve will remain independent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not a political party.
No, it is a kind of a fourth branch of government in a way. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But there have been limits to even this Supreme Court, because at least a couple of them do think about future, like what might happen if somebody else is in power that we don't like. That's right. Usually what people think about. But the only way you're not thinking about that is if you're thinking, I'm never leaving power, I'm going to stay in power.
Right.
So anyway, and another thing that's happening is about 50, immigration judges have been fired.
In 30 years.
Right. People might not understand that immigration courts are not part of the federal judiciary system. They're actually operate under the DOJ, so they can do that. There's a question about that, too. There are going to be some lawsuits. There is an entity. Let me find it real quick.
General Pam Blondie is not very happy in the legal community right now.
Well, a few of those judges are going to appeal through the Merit Systems Protection Board, but Trump wants to get rid of the Merit Systems Protection Board anyway. Who knows if that appeal will mean anything other than the demise of that. But the But one of the things that I wanted to point out is they say, well, he was elected on having deportations, and these judges aren't deporting them. So if he disagrees with their decisions, he has the right to do that. The point is that at least the two judges in San Francisco, the two women, they had their appellate rate was, in terms of that, their decisions were upheld 98% of the time. That's phenomenal. So that means they're following the law. So that means that whoever Trump replaces them by is probably not going to be upheld in the district courts by that amount.
You mean a lackey that'll do whatever Trump wants?
Right. But then that's going to slow things down because everybody is going to appeal because they know that they've got a better chance of getting appealed. With these two women, they may not have deported as many people, but their lawyers probably would have said, hey, they're liberal. If you're being deported by her, you probably shouldn't even bother to appeal. But now if they put in one of these guys, everybody's going to appeal. It's going to gum up the works even worse. There's like tens of thousands of a backlog, I think over 100,000. One of those women had 6,000 on her plate. And it's going to take a while to replace these 50 judges. It's going to get backlogged even more. This is another reason why Obama and Biden both had higher deportation rates, because it's all part of it. It's one thing to arrest them, but you actually have to be able to deport them.
Hold it. Are you saying Biden's deporting more people in his first 6 months than Trump did?
That's right. Yes.
You won't hear that on Fox News.
No, that's why Miller's been screaming at him. But he doesn't understand. He says, "I want you in Costco. I want you in there." Right. That's the problem when you just indiscriminately do it. If what Obama and Biden did was they focused on the criminal element. Those are people who can't apply for asylum, who have fewer defenses. Right. If you've committed a crime, don't have as many defenses. So you can't, they don't come up the worst. Lower hanging fruit. They're out quickly.
I'm going to go back to the manosphere here. Joe Rogan was a fan of Trump.
Was
Trump got elected and everything he told us he's going to do, he's doing the opposite. I'm going to shrink the deficit to zero. Well, the big ugly bill is going to grow the deficit by $4 trillion with a T dollars. Yeah. He said, I'm going to go after these bad immigrants, the bad hombres, and I'm going to get the cartel guys and drug dealers. And we all said, great. If you do murder here and you're an illegal immigrant, gone. If you're a cartel member, gone. Drug dealer, gone. But he, like you say, he's going after the gardeners and the people working construction. And the average American is freaking out going, so what? They're illegal. They're part of our community here. Yeah. As long as they're not committing crimes. But there's a guy from Canada, I think I mentioned, can't get back in the country. He had dual citizenship. He had a green card in America, dual citizenship. They won't let him back in because he had an arrest for cannabis 15 years ago.
He was a Trump supporter.
Not violent, but just they're looking for anything and everything.
Yeah.
So, but when the manosphere says, why are you getting these guys at the Home Depot, the laborers? Why don't you go after the gang guys? We're behind you if you do that.
Well, yeah, and it may be with ICE not focusing on that, they aren't getting everybody. Before when they focus on it, they were actually breaking the traffickers. But they, without that, not their, they being focused, a lot of the traffickers, according to at least one report I read, are slipping through the cracks. They may actually be getting fewer criminals.
I'm waiting for Trump to go after the Mexican gang leaders who were born in America but in U.S. prisons and say, you're a bad guy, you've committed a murder, you're gone, bye. And then let's see what happens when he starts deporting citizens.
The one thing they did against gangs supposedly was to go into that park in full military force, on horses and in Los Angeles, because it was where the gangs operated. But the gangs aren't stupid. They're not going to challenge a military operation. They have nothing to gain by doing that. It's just
we're got out 24 hours in advance. There's going to be a massive military police presence. So if you're Hispanic, don't get within 3 blocks of this area.
Right. No, it's just, they're not going to be stupid. They're going to go somewhere else and sell drugs. I mean, it's not like there's a shortage of places to do it. And then they'll go back as soon as, the mayor scares the military out of there.
Right.
I mean, it's just, that's, it was ridiculous. Anyway,
are we ready to talk about the subject that America is insatiable on?
Sure. One more thing. There were two more quick things I want to talk about. Okay. One is the Senate. The Democrats, I think, caught a real break. A couple of days ago, Roy Cooper decided he's going to run for Senate in North Carolina. He has not lost an election in North Carolina. Very
he's
popular.
A Democrat.
Democrat. He was attorney general, I believe, and then governor.
Tom Tillis is stepping aside.
What's that?
There is an actual Tom Tillis is stepping aside. There is an actual one Republican senator with a conscience.
Yeah. No. And that is a very good chance for a Democratic pickup. They need more than one, but that is a solid one. Roy Cooper is an excellent one, and he has a good chance because he's not just a centrist candidate. He's also got some progressive bona fides. He actually increased and was implemented the expansion of Medicaid very effectively in his state. And won a lot of accolades over that. This is an effective guy. Who knows? Maybe he's thinking of running for president at a certain point, but they caught a big break on that. The other break the Democrats caught is Harris is not running for governor of California. Yep. Which is good for a number of reasons. One is I think we've got some other candidates that I think are really good. What's that?
For governor?
Yeah. Yeah, in California.
Who's going to be running for governor?
What's the whiteboard lady? I'm forgetting her name.
Orange County, Katie Porter.
Yeah, and rumors have had our own congressman, possibly. So
really? Jared Huffman? Yeah,
it's a rumor. Huffman. Okay. Yeah. But also there are several other people that are running. I don't remember their names. They're from Southern California, but I read the articles I read on them. They're all really good, and they're up-and-coming leaders, and we need new up-and-coming leaders.
But Katie Porter, she should be
Katie
good.
Porter would be good. I mean, she's effective, you know. So I think there was pressure on Harris to, like, hey, step aside and let some new leadership come up. So
okay.
You know, she can get a great private sector job. So, all right, let's do Epstein. Epstein, it won't die. He wants it to die. Talk about, how do you even say her name? I've never been able to pronounce it right.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. Talks about pardoning her. She's talking to the Supreme Court. She talked for 2 days, her lawyers with DOJ people. And well, you know, will she come out with a list that has only Democrats and no Trump on it?
And that's the key.
That's the key.
Going to buy that?
Who's going to buy it? And who's going to?
Anyone is. For you know, 2 years, the deep state just said, or the people out there saying the deep state's covering it up. We want to see the Epstein list. The number one and two guys of the FBI, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, that's all they said for 2 years is the Epstein list. Get it out. Who are these guys? Pedophiles. Get them. Now that they have the list in their hand, they're going, oh, Trump's name's everywhere. We can't get the list. I know this guy. I know this guy. Oh, my God. They can't get the list out now. And I think the average American's saying there's two separate systems of justice in this country, one for the billionaires and the wealthy people and one for the other 99% of the people out there. And they're not happy with this.
Yeah.
Victims were 15, 16-year-old females.
And Trump, you know, made the comment, I had nothing to do with the guy. I'm assuming on Fox News they never played that tape of him dancing together, right, you know, at the party.
Or Tom Wolf got him on Jeffrey Epstein on microphone saying, Donald Trump's been my best friend for 10 years.
Yeah.
You kind of hang out with your best friends.
I mean, he filed the lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal for the birthday card, right? He knows very well that that lawsuit won't come to anything for years. So this is just, you know, and he'll probably drop it when nobody notices it. But And that is, it sounds like a very bizarre birthday card, by the way. I mean, it's just, you know, what secrets? Right. So it's, so we, yeah, we've got this. We've got, he just wants it to die. And it's not dying because his own supporters want to know this. And if the strategy is to have her come out with a list that's only Democrats, like anybody would buy that. I don't know. Maybe they'll have a few Republicans be sacrificial lambs. I don't know.
Maybe, but if they're dead, they could put a Republican's name on there.
We'll do it. Yeah. Or maybe if there are some Republicans on there that haven't genuflected low enough to Trump that, you know, they'll say, okay, we'll let them, you know, go get under two. Who knows? But the problem is that there are also a lot of donors on that list, right?
That's what they don't want to see.
Yeah, that's this is a real problem for them. But I think they would have a problem pardoning her in terms of that, because if she was just a business associate, you know, somebody who did the books and made arrangements, it would be one thing. But she participated in the actual sexual activities,
right?
And that's just not going to go over well. You know, there are some elements of MAGA that really do care about children. Right. I mean, you know,
who doesn't?
Yeah,
I think what you just hit the nail on the head there is MAGA's having a problem where they're realizing, hold it, they lied to us. They finally saw it when I call her Blondie, not Bondi, when Attorney General Pam Blondie sat there in front of Fox News, said, I've got the Epstein files here. I'm going to release them any day now. Well, weeks goes by, and then all of a sudden she says, there are no Epstein files. I don't know how.
No list.
There's nothing there.
There's no list. There. Right.
There's
yeah.
no names, no list, nothing. We're just going to move on, and boom, we're fine. And it came out during a White House closed-door meeting that she said to Trump, your name's all over these files. You guys are best friends. You did stuff together, and you partied with them.
Oh, and he keeps saying things and doing things that they keep hoping will make it smooth it out with the now it's not all of MAGA. There's still plenty of MAGA people who are willing to believe that those dancing videos are AI fakes, that the that they're still willing to believe him when he says that Epstein died when Biden was president. You know, that it's all a cover up, that it was his DOJ that convicted Maxwell. They did charge Maxwell, but she was convicted under Biden in 2000.
She's convicted of perjury. So is anyone going to believe anything she says?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's
under oath.
So it's it's kind of like the fact that a lot of MAGA people are convinced that he didn't somebody other than him appointed Powell. I mean, so but there, when it comes to children, and especially since he pushed this so long, he made a mistake pushing this, you know, maybe he just thought he could get in there and then just, you know, they would accept it and that would be that. But
what some of these Manosphere guys don't realize, when they do stuff on tape, it's a permanent record. They have Glenn Beck going back 2 years saying, we need to find out these Epstein files, release it. We want the truth. Yeah. And the day Trump was elected, he goes, thank God, we can finally get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out what Epstein did and who was on his list. Today he says, okay, Trump may have had sex with women with Epstein, but they were probably 20, 25 years old. He didn't do the 15, 16-year-old girls. Yeah, right. And I'm watching this going, are you crazy? You just said to us a few months ago?
Yeah.
So they're having a problem twisting out there. So everyone's just changing. We're moving on. We're moving on.
Yeah, but not all of them are moving on. Tucker Carlson hasn't been moving on. I don't know what's going on with him.
Eric, is it bad for someone left of center to say, I actually like Tucker for like 24 hours? He's one of the few people out there going after these guys hard.
Yeah. Yeah, Laura Loomer caved. Do I have her name right?
Laura Loomer, by the way, yeah. She's an anchor baby. Her father was a U.S. citizen. Her mother overstayed her British visa.
Yeah.
And you know, she's part half illegal immigrant. So.
Right. But yeah, no, Carlson is still pushing it. And, a few of the others are still pushing it. And there were true believers, people that were, said I was with him with all the stuff, went through all the crazy stuff. And so, but I'm not with him on this one. And when he laid into that reporter for having asked it, and when Bondi then, you know, said, I never said there was a list, when she had, and at that table, but then, you know, a week later, he's calling those supporters weak, and calling it a hoax and trying to blame it on Obama, and then trying to create this thing. Oh, Obama, the Russia perpetrated the Russia hoax, forgetting the fact that his own Supreme Court majority has ruled that you can't charge a president for anything they've done. And so in office. So that's a dud. And now he's offering JFK stuff, which I'd like to see.
And MLK. We didn't ask for MLK file.
I know.
In the JFK file 62 years ago, the man was assassinated. What is so secret that can't get out except if a president was involved in some way?
I mean, the only thing that might distract from it is if he releases Area 51 files that show that there were actually really aliens.
Don't give Trump that idea. Pretty soon E.T. is going to be all over the news. Good God. No, my favorite was Dan Bongino, the number two at the FBI, who last 2 years, all he said was Epstein files almost daily. Yeah. And when Pam Blondie said there's no list that didn't happen, the two of them got in a screaming match in the White House where people could hear outside the door, literally screaming at the top of their lungs. He's saying, why can't you be honest with the American people? And she's like, why do you think we can't be honest with the American people? The boss's name is on it.
Yeah. The other thing that they have is people have to run for re-election in Congress in 2006. I noticed that a lot of them are just deathly silent. There's not a lot of comments. Few of them coming to Trump's defense. 26. What?
2026.
2026. I mean, some of them have come to in safe seats have come to Trump's defense. They don't want to, you know, take a chance on being primaried. But man, you look at any of the people in those four seats that are in jeopardy down in Southern California. They don't even want. When a reporter asks about it, they just.
Who's Epstein? Never heard of the guy.
Yeah, I know. It's just because they do not want to be caught up on this. I mean, so, that's
Eric. You're the legal mind. If Trump gives Ghislaine Maxwell a pardon, what is going to be the blowback to MAGA world?
I mean, I think there still are elements, large elements of MAGA that will accept whatever he did and whatever he says. There is a large element that will just do that. They will switch in Orwellian fashion. They'll just go over that. But I think there are some that had bought into the conspiracy theory so deeply. And quite frankly, I don't know who's on the list. I have no idea.
I can tell you who's on there.
Who's
on? Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, because Hillary was part of it. She took those kids down the basement of that pizza place. George Soros, Obama. Anyone who's a Democrat who had money or power was on that list.
Right, but I'm talking about, I mean, we know that Clinton was involved. He did take those flights, I think has been confirmed, you know. But
along with Trump.
But, you know, but we know Alan Dershowitz was somehow involved, and a bunch of other famous people. So it may affect people, and maybe there has been kind of an elite cover up that all of the leadership just would rather not have done, especially if there are a lot of donors on it. And maybe they're behind the scenes, they're telling Trump, hey, you know, you created this situation and we may all go down eventually because of it. You know what I mean? It's just,
how many mega Trump supporters does it take to change the light bulb? The answer is zero. Trump told him he changed it, and they just sit in the dark thanking him for changing the light bulb.
Yeah, I know. But
a lot of these people are going to believe them. Whatever Fox News tells them, they'll believe it.
A lot of them, but not all of them. I mean, there are some people who are like, and all of a sudden, something, you know, short-circuited that in their brain. They're like, wait a minute.
It was minors.
These were children.
Children.
Yeah. I have children. You know, I don't want
to be clear here. I had a friend who was my age who was dating someone's my daughter's age. She was over 18, nothing illegal about it. A little unusual, yeah, but she was over 18. So it was legal, but just people kind of looked at him funny, going, okay, you got 30 years on her, so okay. But she was over 18. So it made it legal. However, if he did it when she was 17, whew, there's the wall. That's not cool. You can't do that.
No, you can't, and definitely not 15. I mean, it's just
Oh, yeah, there's.
it's no, it's there. I mean, I the there is a lot of hypocrisy out there. I mean, you see a lot of these stories about the teachers that slept with their students.
It happened here at Eureka High School.
It did it? Oh boy.
Yes, in my class, two of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, and but what I've noticed is a lot of these the women teachers are kind of hot, and so my first thought is, well, yes, the kids need to be protected. This is wrong, blah blah blah. But then the second thought that comes in is, where was she when I was 15? Right? I
Right,
mean, it's just
it's a double standard.
you can't think of it. You
If
can't
you're a
think. You
30-year-old woman having a fling with a 17-year-old, that's
can't.
okay. If you're a 30-year-old man having a fling with a 17-year-old female,
You want to kill them. Yeah. I mean, it's just, well, we are also more protective of our daughters than we are of our sons. Although it's just that is the way it is. But I mean, would I have been emotionally damaged? I don't know, but it's not the point. The point is that you can't, the laws determine that we can't really provide meaningful consent. I mean,
Right.
a gorgeous 30-year-old woman came into my bed. If I'm 15, yeah, I'm doing it no matter what, right? The raging hormones, yeah, there's no consent there. It's just autopilot.
And Erica, if you haven't heard, the Republicans brought a bill on the floor of Congress to lower the age of consent to 12, as they figure that'll take care of most of the problems in the Epstein files.
Right. This brings us to predictions. Matt, what do you got?
I'm thinking Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's cohort, who's serving a 20-year prison sentence, is looking for a pardon or immunity. And immunity doesn't do her much, so she's looking for a pardon to get out. And I think she's going to get it if she can only remember the Democrat names that are involved in Epstein and the big funders, etc. But she has to forget all the Republican names and all the Republican donors, especially the big boss in the White House now. She has to just conveniently forget his name. And she'll testify in front of Congress and perjure and lie again.
Okay. Well, we'll see if that comes true. I think they may throw in a few Republicans
Him
to
some
be
sacrificial lamb.
sacrificed, but we'll see. All right. August 1st was the self-imposed deadline to increase the tariffs on countries if they didn't make deals. The Trump administration has announced a few deals, the latest one with South Korea, but there's still no deals with the biggest trade partners, Canada, Mexico, Taiwan, and
China.
China, a few others. And so and we have this looming line, and Trump, as late as yesterday, said there will be no further extensions. We have to stand strong. My prediction is if we don't have trade deals with those countries come Friday, there'll be another extension.
Kick the can down the road.
Taco.
There you go.
Trump always chickens out. We'll see if any of those predictions come true, but until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.